Today is August 7th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover Treasury's sudden pivot to a dovish net financing posture, the first joint U.S.-Japan currency intervention in 15 years, and the compounding compliance costs reshaping banking dash as dash A dash service partnerships in the wake of FTX. Start with a number that should stop any market structure watcher cold, negative 21%. That's where U.S. Treasury's net financing ratio sat in the second quarter of this year. By the third quarter, it flipped to positive 61%, and it's holding near positive 58% in the fourth quarter. Compare that to the trailing three-year median of roughly 41%, and according to Darius Dale of 42 Macro, what you're looking at isn't noise, it's engineering. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has effectively restricted incremental duration supply, and Dale frames this as a bridge. A bridge built to buy the Federal Reserve time while Chair Kevin Warsh's five-reaction-function task forces move toward completion, expected sometime in the fourth quarter of 2025 or the first quarter of 2026. The broader fintech pattern here is one we flagged before. Sovereign debt management mechanics are increasingly being used as a lever on monetary policy credibility rather than the reverse. Not everyone agrees this bridge is a good idea. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari told CNBC, relayed through Kitco's Florian Grums, that the Fed should be raising rates immediately and that three hikes before year-end are, in his words, not impossible. That's a meaningfully hawkish counterweight sitting right next to Treasury's dovish maneuvering, and it tells you the policy consensus is far from settled. Looking at the regulatory landscape from a currency defense angle, the second major development this period is the first joint U.S.-Japan currency intervention in 15 years. Reporting from Andre Geek, corroborated by Grums, details an intervention funded through euro sales rather than dollar sales, a structural choice worth sitting with. More importantly, there's a parallel Fed facility permitting Japan to post treasuries as collateral for dollars, which lets Tokyo defend the yen without dumping any of its treasury holdings, which exceed $1 trillion, into the open market. Grums describes this as functionally similar to prior central bank swap line interventions, and that framing matters. It establishes a cross-border precedent that treasury desks globally should now treat as a leading indicator of future sovereign debt management tactics, not an isolated event. This is unfolding against a backdrop of genuinely stressed rate markets. The 30-year Treasury yield climbed to 5.27%, its highest level since June of 2007. Steve Hanke of Johns Hopkins points to Divisia M4 money supply growing at 6.7% annually, above the 5-6% range he considers consistent with the Fed's 2% inflation target, and argues this has already triggered renewed bond vigilante selling. Meanwhile, Dale's own 42 macro data shows private sector nominal GDP, excluding government, running near 8%, roughly double the pre-COVID trend of about 4%. And U.S. national debt has now crossed $40 trillion, up from $34.5 trillion in March of 2024, a $5.5 trillion increase in just 2 years. Hanke also flags mortgage rates at their highest since before the 2008 financial crisis, with the housing market sitting flat, a dynamic with direct read-through to mortgage servicing valuations across the fintech lending stack. Now to the piece that should concern anyone building or investing in embedded finance, the rising cost of being a banking dash as dash a dash service partner bank. The FDIC and OCC have intensified enforcement consent orders against Evolve Bank and Trust in 2024, and Blue Ridge Bank in 2022, both mandating remediation of BSA and AML compliance programs. The broader fintech pattern here is consolidation by compliance burden rather than expansion by access. Third-party due diligence programs for BaaS banks now require $2 to $5 million in compliance infrastructure and dedicated fintech oversight staff, a 30 to 50% increase in program costs since the FTX collapse in 2022. Several regional banks with FTX-adjacent crypto exposure simply exited crypto-related BaaS relationships entirely in 2023 and 2024, rather than absorb that overhead. Stablecoin issuers face a parallel squeeze. Genius Act-style proposals mandating full reserve backing and banking-grade custody could impose $5 to $15 million in compliance costs on mid-size issuers, while regional banks holding between $10 and $100 billion in assets are estimated to need $10 to $30 million over 2 to 3 years just for Basel III endgame liquidity stress testing. If you're synthesizing the visual here, picture a cost curve that used to sit flat for years and has now stepped sharply upward since 2022, with each new enforcement action or legislative proposal adding another rung. The primary takeaway is that capital and partnership appetite is consolidating around institutions that can absorb this overhead, not institutions trying to broaden embedded finance access. Circle's USDC remains the clearest public market demonstration of why regulators are moving this way. It depegged to 87 cents after $3.3 billion of its reserves got caught inside Silicon Valley Bank during that bank's collapse, recovering only once Treasury and the FDIC guaranteed uninsured deposits. That's inside a stablecoin market now worth more than $150 billion. Layer on the FDIC's $15.8 billion special assessment on banks holding over $5 billion in assets, and you see deposit insurance architecture gaps translating directly into fintech balance sheet risk. Notably, central banks bought a record 1,037 tons of gold in 2023. With prices holding above $2,400 per ounce, institutions are diversifying into non-digital reserves during banking stress, not toward crypto-native alternatives. One more thread worth flagging before we close: payment messaging infrastructure. The 2016 Bangladesh bank incident, an attempted $951 million theft, with $81 million successfully exfiltrated via fraudulent SWIFT instructions, remains instructive nearly a decade later. SWIFT's customer security program now covers more than 11,000 member institutions, processing over $150 trillion in annual cross-border instructions, yet still relies substantially on self-attestation across roughly 30 controls. With global cybercrime costs estimated at $10.5 trillion annually, correspondent banks in lower-resource jurisdictions remain a systemic weak link. On a more constructive note, growth technology practitioner Cody Schneider offers a useful cost governance framework as banks scale generative AI, reserve LLM inference for judgment-intensive decisions like KYC risk scoring and dispute adjudication, and use deterministic code for high-volume tasks like reconciliation and monitoring. That's a concrete lever for controlling AI infrastructure spend rather than letting it scale uncontrolled alongside compliance headcount. Fintech thesis update. What changed today is the alignment of three previously separate pressures: sovereign financing mechanics, coordinated currency defense, and post-FTX compliance architecture, into a single macro regime where regulators and Treasury are both buying time and raising the cost of participation simultaneously. For BaaS operators and stablecoin issuers, the runway to scale without institutional-grade compliance spend is closing. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow.
That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.